This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Warning, this story discusses domestic violence. If you or someone you know is affected, please seek help. Call 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. Relationships Australia on 1300 364 277 or QLife on 1800 184 527. Here's a Joy Law podcast from Jack and Dean on Joy.
Now, in recent weeks, we've been exploring the issue, the very important issue of, and serious issue of domestic violence or family violence. Mm-hmm. And joining us live in the studio to continue the conversation is Chloe. How are you doing, Chloe?
Hi, guys. Good to be here.
Fantastic. Now, we're talking today about intervention orders. What are they? How do you get one? How do you keep one enforced?
Yes, we are. So first of all, I want to sort of clarify that I know a lot of what we talk about has been about intimate partner violence, family violence from intimate partners, but it doesn't just relate to intimate partners. It also relates, it's family violence. So it's violence by a family member, whether that be a parent, a sibling, a child, grandparent, aunt, uncle, any of the above.
Any member of the family.
Exactly. Wow. So especially with the LGBTQI community, a lot of the issues around coming out can be very, very traumatic for them, and their families don't always approve. And there's often problems there with the relationships. And that can escalate to either physical violence, it can escalate to economic violence. There's all sorts of... I know Bronwyn took you through all of the different examples of family violence that can arise with those issues. So with an intervention order... it doesn't just have to be an intimate partner, is what I'm saying. It can be a family member.
So a lot of people in the community, not just in the LGBTIQ community, but everywhere, share houses. People live with people, friends. They're not family members, though.
No.
Does this extend to someone you share a home with, perhaps?
No, that's a different type of intervention order.
Oh, okay.
And that would... so that's not... You know, so a family violence intervention order is especially for family violence, and the other types of intervention orders can be for anybody that would be causing you harm or to feel unsafe, and that could be a neighbour, that could be a housemate, or, you know, just someone at work even, any of those sort of people as well. So
it is slightly different. Rightio.
It is slightly different. So with an intervention, with a family violence intervention order, the first thing to do, obviously, is if you are feeling unsafe at all, call 000.
Yep.
They're your first port of call if you're feeling like your safety is at risk. What they can do, if there's a situation, if it's escalating at the home, they can attend, the police will attend, they can issue a family violence safety notice, which is an emergency sort of notice that can either force the perpetrator to leave the premises or otherwise put safety measures in place to ensure that the victim is safe.
Yes.
From there, really, it then goes on to whether or not you want to take out a formal intervention order. Sometimes it will be taken out of your hands and the police will do it on your behalf and you won't really have much of a say in it if they think that your safety is at risk. Other times, you will have to make your own application. So that would involve going down to your local magistrate's court and making an application for an intervention order for your own safety.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. So sometimes the police can take the decision out of your hands.
Yes, they can. And they often will tend to do that if it's situations where there's children involved. So sometimes in an intimate partner relationship where there's been family violence, one parent or one party won't necessarily want to take that step because they're still in that relationship vortex and they're not ready to leave yet.
That's right.
There might be violence, but that doesn't mean that the person always wants to leave or feels that they can leave.
That's right.
So the police in that situation will take out an order to protect that person and or their children.
But in the normal, when the police aren't involved, though, you don't actually need police involved for an intervention order?
No, you don't.
I have been listening. See, Jack?
Done very well.
Thank you.
Very proud.
So in that situation, if you felt that you needed an intervention order for your own protection or the protection of your children and the police didn't potentially think that it was serious enough to warrant them taking one out on your behalf, they'll recommend or we would recommend that you would go to your local magistrate's court, make an appointment with the registrar there and apply for an intervention order on your own. And there's support staff at the court are fantastic and all of the magistrate's court who can take you through that process, or you can go and see a private lawyer and get some advice about that.
But if you were to front up at the magistrate's court, do you have to have done your research beforehand, a bit of Googling, or will they talk you through the process?
Well, it really...
How prepared do you really need to be?
You really just need to know why you're there. So if you've got issues for your... concerns for your safety or there's economic abuse or there's things like that are going on, you know, you don't sort of make an application for an intervention order unless you know whether one's warranted. So if you do need advice from a lawyer before, does my situation warrant an intervention order? Do you think I need to get one?
Yes.
You can seek legal advice about that or go down to the court, tell them what your concerns are and they'll tell you whether or not whether or not, for example, you need an interim order. So a final order is one that's you go through to a final hearing and either the perpetrator would agree to it or the judge would make the order. But in the interim, before you get to that date, a magistrate can make a decision about whether or not they think it's urgent enough that you need an interim order for your protection in the meantime.
Right.
Right.
Mm.
And if kids are involved, is it, I assume the order extends to the kids or is it just to the intimate partner?
It generally does extend to the children. But what's important to note in that respect is it doesn't mean that the respondent or the person who has the intervention order against them isn't allowed to see the children. There's often exemptions in the intervention order that allows them to either communicate with the children as agreed in writing or pursuant to court order. It also allows them to attend mediation because a lot of the time, not a lot of the time, but often family violence can, if it's not a sort of a like an ongoing sort of situation within a relationship, it can escalate at the time of separation or at the time of a breakdown of a relationship.
Yes.
And it may be that it's not an ongoing thing. The person may be getting assistance for it and it may be something that can be managed. And if so, it's always in the best interest of the children to maintain that relationship as long as it's safe for them to do so. One of the issues that I think we've touched on previously, but I just want to touch on again, is the support services available for the perpetrators. And this is where I think really we're let down in Victoria as well as across the country. A lot of the perpetrator support systems are aimed at cis straight men.
Yes.
So you've got the Men's Behavioural Change Program. And a lot of, if you've got trans men and gay men, they don't necessarily feel like it's a safe space. And often they're actually encouraged not to attend because it isn't a safe space for them.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Also, that also buys into the argument that family violence is always men.
Exactly. Yes.
And it's not. So there's not really enough support around around female perpetrators or basically any other type of perpetrators there are.
That's
it's
right.
really only aimed at that one
particular
stereotype.
Well, even the language of victim and perpetrator, often these issues are quite complex and often I think both parties are hurting and are acting out in ways that are not appropriate.
Exactly.
And yes, there perhaps is one who identifies as the victim and one perhaps in terms of legal proceedings, but a lot of times people need support.
They do. They do. And that really is the problem is because there isn't those supports out there, it really does only give you the option of private counselling, which can be really expensive. So either you have to go through that process where you go and get a mental health care plan and go and get support from a private psychologist or psychiatrist. It's not always achievable or affordable for everybody. So really, there's just loopholes and people just fall through the gaps all the time.
Absolutely. Now, we just had a message in from Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hey,
on 0427-JOY949. And Ian comments that he, and I don't know Ian's background or whether he's legally qualified or what his story is, but he often would recommend to many women that taking out an order is perhaps a useful thing to do if they are feeling threatened. And recently, Ian had an event with a terrible neighbour, and that was a trying ordeal. And he went, I assume, went through the process of the IVR and was granted one. IVO too many acronyms. And Ian would support people to go through this as a process, but it's also a pretty majorly stressful experience.
Often I find in my experience the issue is that a lot of people lose faith in the system. They've either had a bad experience, whether it be with a police officer, a lawyer, a judge, a court officer, or somebody within that space who hasn't necessarily either listened to their problems or assisted them to achieve the outcome they wanted to do. And they've just lost faith and they've said it's just not worth it. My only advice to anybody feeling like that is it is worth it. Your safety is always worth it. And there are people out there working in the space, in the community, who can help. So whether that be a lawyer or whether that be a police officer, keep trying because you will find someone that will be able to help you. And one other quick thing is that if you do have an intervention order, as Monica touched on last week, it's a piece of paper. It's only worth it if you enforce it. So if the person that you have an intervention order against is breaching that order and it's very clear about what a breach is, report them. Because if you report them, the police then have the option of prosecuting and they may or may not do that.
Set a boundary and keep it.
You have to. You really do have to.
But I think you're very good advice here. If you are in harm's way, keep yourself safe.
Yes.
Number one step.
Yeah, exactly.
Reach out. Thank you very much, Chloe. We look forward to speaking to you again next time.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
If this story has raised any concerns for you or someone you know is being affected by domestic violence, please seek help. Call Lifeline on 13 11 14, the Domestic Violence Hotline on 1800 RESPECT, that's 1800 737 732, Relationships Australia on 1300 364 277 or QLife on 1800 184 527.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.